Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
And now the Mole Mystery Theater, presented by M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins.
Good evening. This is Jeffrey Barnes, welcoming you to the program that presents the best in mystery and detective fiction. Tonight we bring you a story that is, in my opinion, the greatest modern mystery classic of them all. Emlyn Williams' famous play, Night Must Fall. Virginia Field, star of the hit Broadway play Dough Girls and just back from Hollywood where she completed the Paramount picture The Perfect Marriage, will play the part of Olivia Grain, the young Englishwoman who is so hypnotized and fascinated by the strange, half-mad Danny. Danny will be played by a fine young actor just returned from Army service, Ian Martin. So here it is, Night Must Fall, starring Virginia Field as Olivia and Ian Martin as Danny.
Well, gee, am I in the play too, Mr. Barnes?
Oh, no, Dan, that's another Danny, a tough guy.
Well, tough guys aren't always so tough. Why, do you know that lots of them are almost sissies when it comes to shaving? But not the man who shaves with Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream. Because with Mole, it's smooth, so smooth. It's slick, so slick. It's a smooth, smooth, slick, slick shave you get with M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless cream for tender skins. That's right, Mole is the shaving cream that's heavier, the cream that's perfect for a wiry, hard-to-cut beard or tender skin. Because Mole is heavier, it not only softens your whiskers, it stands them up straight while your razor whisks them off one, two, three. So you shave faster, closer, easier, and you shave painlessly with Mole, the heavier brushless cream for tender skins. Mole. Now for tonight's Mole mystery, Night Must Fall.
In the sitting room of a cottage located in a forest of Essex, England, sit three people. Mrs. Bramson, owner and mistress of the cottage, is in a wheelchair. Reading to her from a newspaper is Danny, Mrs. Bramson's houseboy and general handyman. Apart from these two, and apparently lost in her own thoughts, sits a young woman, Olivia Grain, Mrs. Bramson's niece and paid companion.
The murderer committed the crime in the forest. He buried the woman's body shallow in the refuse heap behind the cottage of one Mrs. Bramson, who...
And to think if my maid hadn't found her, that woman might still be lying there. Think of that, Olivia. Olivia!
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry, Auntie. I'm afraid I wasn't listening.
Oh, must you just sit there and stare out of the window? What are you dreaming about?
I was just thinking. I often wonder, on a very fine morning like this, what it'll be like for night to fall. I never can, yet it's got to.
You'd do better thinking about catching a husband. Where's that man of yours, that Hubert Lowry?
Oh, he's off for a walk, I suppose.
Shall I read some more, Mum?
Oh, yes, dear.
Attempts had been made to eradicate fingerprints with a knife. The head had been severed by a skilled person, possibly a butcher.
Oh, dear, my heart's beating like anything. No more, Danny, no more.
All right, mother of mine. It's time for your afternoon stroll anyway. Off to your room and make yourself pretty for your Danny boy.
Yes, dear, I won't be a minute. Oh, you needn't wheel me, Olivia. Heaven knows you nor anyone else gave me any attention until Danny came to the scene.
Hurry back, mother of mine. I'll have your pills and chocolates ready.
What's so funny?
I don't know. Rummy old lady.
Why'd you whistle that song so much?
Why not? I am a pretty little fellow.
The papers say that on the day of the murder, an unidentified man was heard walking through the forests singing that song.
You know, you wouldn't be bad looking without them glasses.
Are you playing up to my aunt?
Playing up?
After her money, I mean. You stand a pretty poor chance there, you know.
What do you bet?
Do you never take that cigarette out of your mouth?
Oh, you don't like me, do you?
No.
Everybody else does.
You're very conceited, aren't you?
Yes.
And you're acting all the time, aren't you?
Acting? Acting what? Look at the way I can look you in the eyes. I can stare you out.
I have a theory. It's the criminals who can look you in the eyes. And the honest people who blush and look away.
Oh?
You are acting, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I am.
You worked at that summer resort where the murdered woman lived, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I used to take cigarettes and drinks to her. She was a very lively one. She... I gotta go now. Mrs. Bramson will be waiting.
But if Danny should come in and catch us searching his luggage, Miss Grimes.
Oh, I'll take the responsibility, Dora.
Hello there. Passed the old dragon and a white-haired boy along the path, thought I... Oh, I say, what's going on?
We're searching Danny's luggage, Hubert.
Good heavens, Olivia, that's a bit much. Why say, you don't think it was Danny who murdered that woman?
Well, I don't know.
But it was such a clever business. They still haven't found her head, you know. And he's such an ordinary chap.
Yes, that's just it. And then suddenly he's so extraordinary.
Nothing much here, Mum. Just their wallet with a letter inside it.
Well, let's see. Dear Babyface, my own. Next time you strike Newcastle, okay by me, baby. Signed, Lil.
This is the last bit of luggage, Mum. Shall I open it?
Luggage? Looks more like an old-fashioned hat box. Made of leather. Heavy, too. It's locked, but I think I can open it.
Wait a minute, Hubert.
What's up?
Well, suppose there is something in it.
By Jove, I never thought of that. Well?
Open it. Go ahead.
Those are my things.
Oh, Danny.
Could I have it back, please, sir? My wallet, I mean. It's the only one I got.
Oh, this? Oh, yes, of course.
Well, what did you think of the letter?
Letter?
Well, you have it in your hand. Means well, does little, but we had a row, she would spy on me. And if there's anything I hate, it's spying. Don't you agree, sir?
Yes.
I'd sooner have anything than a spy. Bar a murderer, of course.
What did you say?
Bar a murderer, of course.
Olivia, you better deal with all this. It's beyond me.
And I'll be getting back to the kitchen, Mom.
You were acting again, weren't you? Is there something in that hat box?
Yes. A hat, maybe.
Did you do it? Did you do it?
Look outside. It's growing dark. Soon we'll have dinner, and Dora will be off to church for evening meeting, and dear Mr. Lorry will be gone. And the dark will come down blacker and blacker.
thought you'd gone out.
What, you? Well, you're the quiet one. I've been drinking and I feel fine. Have one?
I prefer talking.
Oh, talking's daft. Doing's the thing.
You do live in your imagination, don't you?
Yes, it's the only way to bear with the awful things you have to do.
What awful things?
I haven't had as much to drink as all that.
What was your life like at that summer resort?
Well, you're always concerned with me and my doings.
I'm not. It's just that you never talk about it.
My life?
Yes.
Well, the day don't start so good with a lot of spoons that's been in the mouths of gaping fools that looks through me like I was a dirty window, hadn't been cleaned for years. Orders, orders. Go here, do this. I was never meant to take orders, never. And just when I think I got a bit of peace, there's somebody locking the door. Won't let me go out. Talk, talk, talk. Won't fork out with no more money. At me, at me, at me. Calls me everything. And screams and screams. So nothing keeps that mouth shut.
Go on.
I'm too fly for you. You'd like to know, wouldn't you?
Why do you lie awake all night?
I don't. I sleep. I sleep.
Oh,
well.
No, you don't. And I'll tell you why. Because there's one thing that keeps you awake.
Be quiet.
One thing you've pushed into the back of your mind, and you can't do any more about it, and you never will.
No.
And you know what it is? It's a little thing. A hat box.
No.
Only a hat box, but it's rather heavy.
Stop it! Stop it! It's the only thing that keeps me awake. Mind you, the only thing. But I don't know what to do. You see, nothing worries me, nothing in the world, only I don't like the pair of eyes staring at me with no look in them. I don't know what to do. I don't
know. Oh, please. Please. Oh.
Anybody home?
It's that man from Scotland Yard who was here before. Inspector Belsize.
All right. I'll deal with him. I'll manage myself all right. You watch me.
As the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's play, we've had one murder, and maybe Scotland Yard will solve it. But one murder often leads to several more. And who knows, maybe this is the night.
Why, Mr. Barnes, sounds like you've been looking over my shoulder.
How so, Mr. Seymour?
Well, look, right here on this piece of paper in my hand, it says, "Men, when morning brings murder because you have to shave, chances are you have wiry whiskers or a tender skin. So try Mole. The heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins. Why, Mole gives you a shave as smooth as flying, as trim as a top. Yes, Mole is a heavier cream. The cream that not only softens your whiskers, but holds them up straight as ten pins while your razor cuts them close and clean. With Mole, you shave faster, closer, easier, and you shave painlessly. Try it. See if you don't say, it's smooth. So smooth. It's slick. So slick. It's a smooth, smooth, slick, slick shave you get with M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins. Mole. And now back to Jeffrey Barnes and Act Two of Night Must Fall.
Dwellers of Mrs. Branson's cottage have been thrilled and frightened by the finding of a dead woman near the cottage. In spite of the fact that the woman's head was missing, the police have identified her as a Mrs. Chalfont who lived in a nearby summer resort. Our play resumes as Inspector Belsize enters the cottage. Olivia excuses herself, leaving the shaken Danny to confront the inspector alone.
Annie, why didn't you tell me you knew the deceased woman?
Knew her?
Well?
Oh, sir, I... Oh, sorry, it's been on my conscience ever since.
So you did know her?
Oh, no, sir, it wasn't like that. I avoided her ever after that day she stopped me, sir. Oh, the brazen way she went at me, sir. But now, do you know what, sir? It's a weight off my mind you wouldn't believe. It was the disgust like of nearly getting mixed up with her that's kept me awake nights.
You're a bit of a milksop, aren't you?
Am I, sir?
Well, I'll be going. Oh, there's just one thing. Matter of form, you know. If you don't mind, I'll have a quick look through your luggage. No, you stay here. I'll get it myself.
Yes, sir. Through that door there, sir.
I'll find it.
A pretty little fella. Everybody. You can't miss my room, sir.
Found it all right.
Oh, no. What to call me, buddy?
Say, what have we here? This leather hat box seems to be locked. Have you got the key? What's the matter with you?
It isn't mine.
Not yours?
No.
Oh? Whose is it then?
I don't know. It isn't mine.
Now, look here.
I'm sorry to have left you so abruptly, Inspector. Could I get you some tea?
Oh, not now, Miss Graham. Now, damn if this isn't yours.
Why, Inspector, what are you doing with my hat box?
Yours? But it was in Dan's...
Oh, well, Dan's room used to be the storeroom. I'll take it now.
Oh, yes, of course.
Thank you. I'll put it in my wardrobe. It's got all my letters in it.
By Jove. I'm afraid I've offended her. Snooping. Well, good night, young fellow. I'll be off.
Good night, sir.
But in the future, don't keep things from the police.
Oh, no, sir.
They always find out, you know.
Oh, I'm sure they do, sir.
Good night.
Good night, Inspector Burris.
And I tell you, Mum, when I walked in from church and saw Danny lying on the floor, everything went topsy-wopsy.
Well, I can't understand it. I guess the poor boy's been working too hard.
Well, I'll be running along now, Mum. It's getting late. And my old mother will be worrying if I'm not there by 10. Oh, should I take Miss Olivia a tea first?
Miss Olivia isn't here. She's left.
She left?
Yes, some ridiculous nonsense about not spending another night here. Seems she made arrangements to stay with Hubert Lowry and his sister, if you please.
But, Mum, there has been a murder.
Well, I've got Danny to look after me. He's strong as an ox and no silly nerves about him.
Well, good night then, Mum.
Good night, Dora. Danny? Danny, come here. I want my chocolates. Danny! Oh, I have to get them myself.
Oh, Lord, what's that? Danny! Danny! Oh, Danny, he's gone. They've all gone and they've left me. Oh, Lord, help a poor woman. I'm going to be murdered. I'm going to be murdered. Who's there? Who's there?
It's all right, mother of mine. Oh. It's only me, Danny.
Oh, I'll never forgive you, Danny, never. Oh, my heart.
No, it's all right.
Oh, all alone I was. Just an old woman calling for help and no answer. Oh, the relief when I saw your face.
I bet you wasn't half glad, eh?
You're the only one that understands me, Danny. That's what you are. I want a chocolate now.
Right you are. Now. Shut your eyes. Open your mouth.
Oh, Danny. You're the only one. You're a pet.
My little chubby face. My baby face. My Danny. There. I want to be read to now.
Wouldn't you like a cushion back of your head first?
Oh, no. No, dear.
I think you'll be more comfortable with a cushion. I'm a pretty little girl. Everybody knows.
Why? What a funny look on your face, dear. You look so kind, smiling like that. Oh. Well, Danny, what are you going to do with that cushion? You're lifting it up so... Danny! No!
I don't know what you'll call me, but I'm mighty like a rose.
This is Jeffrey Barnes again. In just a moment, we'll return you to Act Three of Night Must Fall.
You can't fight dandruff effectively with plain water, for all plain water does is remove loose dandruff, and it's exactly the same with most ordinary preparations for the hair. But one product that really does more is Double Dandrine. It truly works where so many others fail. This is because Double Dandrine does what such products can't do. It actually kills on contact the germs that many outstanding authorities contend are a cause of a common type of dandruff. You see, Double Dandrine contains an active antiseptic called Alzan. And it's this special ingredient, used by many hospitals because of its remarkable efficiency, that makes Double Dandrine so amazingly effective. Remember, no other hair preparation contains Alzan. You get it only in Double Dandrine. So try Double Dandrine and see if you don't agree that most ordinary hair preparations can't compare with its dandruff-combating effectiveness. If you're not satisfied, return the empty bottle and get your money back. Buy Double Dandrine at your druggist's.
I must hurry. Hurry and break up this chair. Then the fire. And they'll think she died in it. Huh? Who's there? Oh. You've come back.
I've never seen a dead body before. I nearly fell over it in the hallway. Like a sack of potatoes. I thought it was at first. I came back expecting... I don't know. And here I find you smoking a cigarette. It's so ordinary.
What did you come back for?
To find you out. I've read a lot about evil. I never expected to come across it in real life.
Oh, you didn't have to read so much. I never got through a book yet, but I'll read you all right.
Read me?
Your mind. You haven't had a drop to drink yet, you feel as if you had. You never knew there was such a secret part inside of you. All that book learning and moral me eye here and social me eye there. You took that off of the edge of the wood, same as if it... as if it was an overcoat. And you left it there.
Oh, I hate you. Hate you.
Oh, no, you don't. You feel the same as I do, sometimes excited and light as air. Why, this is my big chance. You're the one I can tell all about myself. You said just now murder's ordinary. Well, it isn't ordinary at all, see? And I'm not an ordinary chap. There's one big difference between me and other chaps that try this game. I'll never be found out. The world's going to hear from me, you wait. But you can't wait, can you?
You mean you're going to...
Yes. Aren't you frightened? You ought to be.
Don't you think I'll do it?
Sorry. I know you will. I just can't realize it.
You see, I make up my mind to do a thing, and I do it. And I'm going to take care of you right now. What's that light in here?
It's a light in the woods. Somebody's shining in here. Somebody must be watching the house.
Oh, it can't be. Nobody's watching. I'm the one that watches. They got no call to watch me. I'll go out and tell them that. I know I'm watching.
What is it?
Behind them trees. Hundreds back of each tree. Thousands of eyes. The whole world's on my track after me. The whole world's after me.
Why, you've stopped acting at last. You're real for the first time. Frightened. Just like a child.
Everything's slipping away from under my feet. Can't you feel it? Starting slow, then hundreds of miles an hour. I'm going backwards. And there's a wind in my ears, a terrible blowing wind. Everything's going past me like the telegraph poles. All the things I've seen faster and faster, backwards. Back to the day I was born. I can see it coming, the day I was born. I'm going to die.
No. No, you're not. No, it'll be all right. You won't die. I'll tell him I made you do it. I'll tell lies. I'll do anything. It's a...
All right, Danny. Stand up without your wrists.
But she isn't dead, Inspector. She just went out there in the hall. I don't know why. She's sleeping, maybe. Maybe just sleeping.
This will take care of you. There.
No, Inspector. No, I need him to...
No. I'm the fella. Anything I'm concerned in, I run myself. If there's going to be any putting me on a public platform to answer questions, I'll do it myself. I'll manage all right.
I get you. Like a bit of limelight, eh?
You're not going to believe what she said, are you, Inspector?
No. Plenty of women who don't know any better get hysterical about a lad in your position. You'll find them queuing up all right when the time comes.
Will they now?
Come along. I have a motor waiting.
You know... I'd like something now I never wanted before. A long walk all by myself. And just when I can't have it. That's contrary, isn't it? You, miss. Come here a minute now.
Danny.
Remember me with this. There, my girl. Never say you've not been kissed. Well, I'm going to be hanged in the end. But they'll get their money's worth at the trial. You wait.
The original music for the Mole Mystery Theater is composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Night Must Fall was written by Emlyn Williams and adapted for radio by Don Agger. Virginia Field and Ian Martin were starred in tonight's program. And now this is Dan Seymour saying good night until next Friday at this same time when the Mystery Theater presents a rollicking mystery comedy, Follow That Cab. This program came to you from our NBC studios in Radio City, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, The Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Good evening, creeps. This is PFCX, raising the curtain of the Mystery Playhouse. Tonight's play was written by A. Merritt and is entitled Burn Witch, Burn. Creeps, this is a story that borders on the supernatural. It is about a doctor, a man of science, who finds himself in conflict with a strange evil force that defies all science. A doctor who doesn't believe that some things he hears are possible until he sees them with his own eyes. Listen now to Burn, Witch, Burn.
My name is Dr. Lowell. The laws of science have always been the horizon of my understanding. That is, until recently. I'm confused, bewildered. I've seen things which could hardly occur according to scientific explanation. Awful, gruesome things. Things which belong in the Dark Ages. It all began on that day when that notorious gangster, Julian Ricori, brought one of his gunmen into my hospital. The man died horribly. Most horribly. I stood there studying the terror-frozen face of the dead man. I was baffled, but I couldn't accept the explanation of Ricori, who kept mumbling.
La Strega. La Strega.
What's that you're saying, Ricori?
La Strega, the witch. That's who killed Peters.
Well, look here now. You've upset my hospital staff badly enough bringing that man in here without any regard for the proper procedure.
It was an emergency, Dr. Law.
Nevertheless, now you have the audacity to suggest some ridiculous superstition as the cause of his death. Which, indeed.
Then you'll tell me what killed him, doctor.
When the autopsy report comes in, we'll know.
You'll know nothing. Look at Peters there. Look at the face. You've seen men die before, lots of them.
Well?
Did you ever see a man look as he did before he died? Sorry eyes. They're staring up at you, through you. Beyond you, it's a world of fear and terror.
You want me to believe he was killed by black magic? By a witch?
I don't care what you believe. It's true.
Mr. Ricori, I have other patients.
Doctors. You're a blind fool.
Oh. Come in, Dr. Burrell. Goodbye, Mr. Ricori. You can make arrangements with a nurse outside for the removal of your friend's body.
Doctor! Fool!
Say, he's mad.
Yes. How's Nurse Waters?
I gave Edith a sedative. This man's death was certainly a harrowing experience.
No question about it.
I myself never experienced anything like it. The horror of his expression, convulsions. It was as if the whole trouble was in the man's mind, not the body.
Stop it before you begin to sound like Ricori, who believes a witch killed him.
A witch?
Did you ever hear of anything so absurd?
My impression suggested something in the nature of murder.
Murder?
Yeah, well, not in the ordinary sense of the word. It seems as if there was a will determined to kill his body.
Well, then you mean suicide. I've watched a few die in my time because they lost the will to live.
No, I meant there was another's will.
Another's?
Yes. A will stronger than Peter's gripped his, stifled it. Then in complete possession, willed his death.
Dr. Brayer.
I know it sounds far-fetched. Edith.
Nurse Waters, you were told to lie down.
I couldn't. Oh, Bob.
What is it, dear?
I'm afraid.
Of what?
I don't know. I can't explain it. That man lying there, Peter's.
Dr. Lowell speaking. Very well, I'll be there at once. That was the serology lab. They found something odd in Peter's blood. I'll be there if I'm needed. Darling.
Bob.
Oh, you're still trembling. Let's get out of here.
Huh? No.
Stop looking at him, dear. He was just a thug, a gunman. You're mistaken. You didn't know him.
It's something to do with that doll woman.
Doll woman?
That's where I saw him. Or rather, a doll that looked like him.
Edith, you're completely unnerved. Please let me take you to your room.
Bob, will you do something for me?
Of course.
Take me away from here.
Where to?
Anywhere. Tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow we'll go away. Far away. We were going to get married in June. We'll get married sooner. At once.
Edith, you...
Oh, don't look at me that way. I'm not mad. I'm just frightened.
Of what?
I don't know exactly. It all has to do with...
Edith. Edith, what is it? Edith, what are you staring at?
Bob, I...
Edith. We've got to save her, Dr. Lowell.
We're fighting what killed Peters. Obviously, she's contracted the disease.
Edith.
She's in coma. She can't hear you.
Whatever it is, she's fighting it.
Yes, I know.
We can't just stand here and watch her die. What can we do?
Nothing helped Peters.
What did you find in his blood? Why did they call you to the lab?
Nothing that will help us here.
What was it?
A strange incandescence in certain blood corpuscles. No doubt Ricori would call it witch fire.
Dr. Lowell, look. Her eyes. She's opening and closing them.
Maybe she's trying to say something.
Two, three, four times. Now six, seven, eight, nine.
She stopped.
There, once again.
Her pulse is weakening.
Edith. Edith, my dearest. Fight. Edith. Edith.
Sorry, my boy. She's gone. I know what Nurse Walters meant to you, Bob, but after all, it's been several weeks now and your work has...
I'm going to find out what killed her. If necessary, I'll devote my life to it.
It's obviously some new disease. Maybe some obscure tropical disease.
I don't believe that, Dr. Lowell.
Well, even in the face of facts...
What facts?
You saw the answers I received from the letters I sent out to the doctors of the city. There have been 9 other cases, all fatal.
But the autopsy showed no reason in the world why both Peters and Edith shouldn't be alive this minute.
Have you a theory, Doctor?
Yes, I think it was murder. I said it before about Peters, now I'm more than ever convinced of it.
Of course, you realize murder usually has a motive. Here's a list of the other victims. A banker, an acrobat, an 11-year-old child, a spinster, a man who...
I know all that.
Well, what could these people have in common to supply a motive?
A love for children.
Oh, come now.
One was even a child. Even the banker supported a large orphan asylum. Edith adored her niece.
And Peters, a gunman?
A daughter. And it all proves a common interest.
In what?
In children. And children love dolls. Edith mentioned something about a doll woman. I've racked my brain for days. It's the only clue I can find. But what doll woman? Where?
You were convinced that Edith tried to signal you with her eyes before she died, weren't you?
Yes, she blinked her eyes 4 times. 9 times and again once. In terms of the alphabet, D is the 4th letter. I the 9th, A the 1st. D-I-A. Is it the beginning of a name, an address, what?
Well, does Diana suggest anything?
No, not Diana.
It could mean diary.
Diary. Diary, of course. What a fool I've been. Why didn't I ask you sooner?
Here, where are you going?
To Edith's apartment, to find her diary and get to the bottom of this unholy business.
Bob.
I'll be back later.
I tell you, you're barking up the wrong tree. Forget your wild ideas about murder and possessed wills. A microscope and test tube will give you the solution.
Not this time, Dr. Lowell.
Dr. Lowell speaking. What's that? Ricori's been stabbed. Very well, I'll be right down.
The gang chief, Ricori, was stabbed just below the heart by a long, thin instrument. Dr. Lowell questioned Ricori's bodyguard, McCann. The man was frightened. He told a story of taking Ricori to a strange doll shop run by a grotesque old woman. Ricori came out of the shop carrying something under his coat. He got back into the car, McCann said, and then...
All of a sudden, I hear him suck in his breath. I feel his body tighten up, and then he sags loose all over.
Only you and Paul the driver were with him in the car.
That's right, Doc.
And neither of you stabbed him?
No.
That means he must have stabbed himself. Is that what you want me to believe?
I don't know. I'm all mixed up, Doc. I can't make it out.
Where's Paul the driver?
When a boss slumps over, I yell to Paul. As soon as he stops the car, the door flies open and something falls out into the street.
What?
The boss was carrying under his coat when he came out of his doll shop. It was dark. I couldn't see what it was. Paul jumped out after it. I grabbed the wheel and raced here.
It's a pretty thin story, McCann.
Doc, I wouldn't hurt the boss. You gotta believe that. I wouldn't hurt him, Doc. Oh, I... Mac, I got it.
Paul,
the boss ain't croaked. He might pull through. Doc, this is Paul, the driver.
I got it. Here. This is what the boss had under his coat.
It's a doll.
Let me see that.
Look at the face. Holy mother.
Isn't that the face of...
Peters.
The spitting image of Peters.
And what's this running down the back of its collar?
Looks like a big hat pin.
No. It's a sword. A tiny sword.
And there's blood on it. Ricori's blood.
Holy mother in heaven.
Dr. Braille, I'm glad you're here.
What's happened?
Julian Ricori was stabbed.
I know. I just spoke with him. He said he was stabbed by a doll.
Nonsense. He was stabbed by this tiny sword, yes, but how could the doll stab him?
What's this?
The doll. If you look closely at the face, you'll see it's the face of Peters.
It's what Edith meant when she said she saw Peters before. She saw this doll. She saw the doll maker when she went there. I found it all in her diary, Dr. Lowell.
I cannot believe this doll stabbed Ricori.
Your explanation, then.
Well, I'm beginning to believe that maybe this doll woman is involved, but everything can be explained scientifically. I don't know, post-hypnotic suggestion, perhaps. This doll woman might have hypnotized Ricori to stab himself, but suggested he should think he was attacked by the doll.
Completely unsound, Dr. Lowell. Experimentation has proven over and over again that no subject under hypnosis will commit any extreme act that he wouldn't commit normally.
I know. Perhaps this woman has developed hypnosis beyond anything yet.
Dr. Lowell, what is it? What's wrong? Dr. Lowell! Dr. Lowell!
Stop shaking me!
Are you all right?
Of course. Just felt a bit faint.
You looked as if you were in a trance.
It's La Strega. Like the boss says, La Strega.
Didn't tell Braille, but during that moment of faintness, I heard a voice. A beautiful, low, exotic voice. And it said, kill. Kill Ricori. That night I sat up with Ricori, who had fallen into coma.
Doc, Paul and me will be right outside the door. Anything happened?
No. Stay here.
Okay, Doc.
Now listen to me carefully, both of you. Obey me in every detail. Ricori's life depends on it.
Okay, Doc, shoot.
Now here's the important thing. Watch me closely.
Watch you, Doc?
Yes. If I should go to your chief, it would be to do one of three things only. Take his pulse, listen to his heart and breathing, take his temperature. If you see me do anything else, stop me.
Doc,
if I resist, tie me up. Then phone Dr. Braille. Here is his number. Is everything understood?
Yeah. Okay, Doc.
Paul, I don't like it, but all right. Paul, will you switch off the ceiling light? The bed light will be enough.
Yeah. Okay.
It's 4:00. Oh, Lord. I'm tired.
Dr. Lowell.
Huh?
relax and release yourself to me. Yes, sleep. But through your sleep, the excitement, the exhilaration there is with me. Dr. Lover, there, on the bed, that man. He's ugly, vicious. Destroy him, Dr. Lover. Kill him. Go to the table, Doctor. Take out one of your sharp instruments and plunge into his throat, just under the ear. Go now. That's it.
Now. Hold it, Paul. Let me go. Flatten that. Never.
What is it?
It's okay now, Doc.
What happened?
Plenty. You're about to take Ricori's temperature with a knife.
That settled it. I couldn't argue anymore. Hypnosis, telepathy, call it what you will. I believed in the witch now. And I knew that eventually I would destroy her or she would destroy me. Before leaving Ricori's room because of some inexplicable compulsion, I took Ricori's gun. Later, as I was preparing for bed, Dr. Braille came in. Impulsively, and again as if compelled, I hid the gun in the drawer of my night table.
I heard what happened, Dr. Lowell. We should notify the police.
Police would laugh at us. We haven't a solitary shred of evidence that this doll woman is behind this thing.
You're right, of course. Tell me, how's Ricori?
His recovery is amazing. He's even walking about.
I'm staying just outside your door. I've rigged myself up a cot.
Why?
I don't know. But after what's happened...
I see. Would you turn out the light, please? Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Remember, if you hear anything, call me.
The gun. Reach out. Take it in your hand.
No.
Now, if you will listen to me and obey me, exhilaration and power will come to you. Excitement, Doctor. Raise the gun to your head, Doctor. That's it. Now, kill. Kill.
I was doing as she directed.
Kill.
The gun was in my hand. And slowly, ever so slowly, my hand moved it up toward my temple. Inwardly, I fought to regain my will, but still my hand moved up, up, up. And always that accursed voice.
Kill.
Now the gun was at my head. My fingers slowly tightening on the trigger. I fought to stop it. Fought to cry out. And then with one supreme effort, I screamed and directed the gun away.
Dr. Law, are you all right?
Braille. Braille. Oh, good Lord. I've shot him. Sure you feel up to this?
You want to destroy the witch, don't you?
Well, we can't waste another minute. It's either she dies or we die.
I don't want to die that way. How's Dr. Braille?
Better. He'll recover.
Good.
When we get there, Ricori, you, McCann, and myself will go in. Have your other men in the other car surround the place.
Keep your gun handy, McCann.
Right. Here we are, boss.
McCann. Go tell the boys to cover the place.
Okay.
Well, here we are. Can you pick the
lock, Ricori?
Let me see. Yeah, this is easy.
Joint's covered, boss.
That does it. Quiet now.
Just follow me in the back room.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Lestrade.
Come in, gentlemen. I've been expecting you.
Move aside, boss. Let me...
I'll do this job myself.
You'd like to kill me, Ricori?
Go on, boss. Shoot. Shoot.
I can't.
Ricori, for heaven's sake, don't look in her eyes.
I can't. Shoot. Shoot.
Draw your weapon. First you, Ricori. Now you, my hand. So, you see, Dr. Lover, I'm only a timid old woman. Very old, ages old, and with all the dark wisdom of the ages. No. Don't try it once. You can, because I've willed it so. Pick up the gun, Dr. Lover. That's right. Now, you will kill these men.
Galea est omnis divisa in partes tres.
What are you mumbling?
Galea est omnis divisa in partes tres.
What, Jesus? What are you saying?
All Gaul is divided into three parts. A trite jingle from schoolboy Latin, I kept saying it over and over. Gallia est omnis divisa in partes tres. As long as I said it, I knew I could keep my mind a blank. And she could not hypnotize me. Gallia est omnis divisa in partes tres. I turned the gun on her. It was her life or the lives of all of us. Gallia est omnis divisa
in partes tres. Try to kill this companion of yours. You cannot kill me. You're powerless. I will it. Stop. No. No.
Astrego is dead. When falling, she had broken the lamp. In a moment, the place was in flames. I turned to Ricori. Ricori! Ricori, snap out of it!
What is it?
McCann! McCann!
My gun. What happened to her?
Look! The witch on the floor.
She's dead. The joint's burning. Let's get out of here.
Doc, come on.
But shouldn't we take her out of here?
No, let her burn too. It's better. Let it all burn.
This way. Come on!
Burn, witch! Burn!
Brings down the curtain of the Mystery Playhouse for tonight. Burn, Witch, Burn was adapted for radio by Joel Hamill. The music was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Arnold Moss was featured in tonight's play. For Creeps, until next time, this is PFCX reminding you to sleep tight. Good night. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To check out our other storytelling podcasts like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, go to crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. Coda riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist Coda customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at coda.com. That's C-O-T-A.com. Good luck to all the runners.